Yeah, man, what's happening, man? It's been a while. It's been a minute, man. A lot of life and a lot of wrestling is happening. And luckily, that's why we here, man. Happy day, good day to you wherever you are. Excuse me. It's been raining like crazy out here for the last few hours. And it don't like it's no signs of slowing down. We're going to get to all this Road to WrestleMania talk. One of the most awkward ways to get to the WrestleMania main event ever, at least of my time that I can remember. So it's time to unpack in a real way because, But that means, without further ado, it's time for the first Black Champ podcast, and I'm still the pick. Yeah, keep your pedophile face out of our business.
Hey,
care for the port.
Oh, I know what that was meant for. make sure you rate, like, subscribe, download to the Barbershed Network, home of First Black Champ. Make sure you go ahead and get that merch. The link is in the bio for that. Great show in store for you today, and we definitely have to kick it off with, man, to slap her around the world.
Yeah.
The best way of putting it, to slap her around the world. It looks like the Road to WrestleMania is going to involve finishing the story because, you know, I think a number of people were a bit nervous and stuff about, you know, if Cody Rhodes was going to get the chance to finish the story. And it looks like he's going to do that because he made his decision. And at WrestleMania on April 7th, which is the last day of WrestleMania in Philadelphia, is going to be Roman Reigns versus Cody Rhodes for the WWE Universal Championship. Yeah. So it'll, you know, it, you know, diverts to what people were nervous about the plan, which was that The Rock would be going up against Roman Reigns for the WWE Universal Championship and for the, I guess, the right to call someone the tribal chief. Mm. Yeah, so let's first start off with not necessarily the press conference, but just fan reaction and some of the things that you saw and your thoughts on that. Just a lot of fans that were very upset at what they saw on SmackDown before the press conference. Yeah. They saw, you know, what looked like Cody Rhodes deferring to The Rock and a lot of people being upset about that. But then to go to the press conference and, you know, basically say, hey, I made my decision. It's going to be you, Roman Reigns. Like, what were your thoughts on the fan reaction? And if you think that the fans really played a part in the change or the possible change in direction for the main event at WrestleMania.
Yeah. Man, you know, to sum this all up, and then to get right into it, we're going to Quentin Tarantino movie this. Everything that we said on the first Black Champ podcast is exactly why everything is happening the way it's happening now. This show, the first Black Champ show, told y'all Cody doesn't need to win the Royal Rumble to be in the main event against Roman Reigns or against Seth Rollins at WrestleMania. And lo and behold, look where we are. For the first time ever, because there's always a random first times for the Royal Rumble, right? There was the first time that the title was ever won. And then it was the first time the title was in contention. And then we had the first time it was a draw with Lex Luger and Bret Hart. And then they had to have two matches that were like a contenders match, but a title match because the other person had to get his title match, but had to get his like tune-up match because they both got to wrestle twice to make sure everybody wrestled twice to get to one belt, right? Most confusing one ever, but resulted in one of the best cards match-wise, probably in WrestleMania history. Now, we just watched the person that didn't need to win it, renege, get a reaction, and say, no, I'm joking. We're going to do what y'all want me to do with this. I'm going to do what y'all want me to do. Hold on. My bad. I thought because the ESPN thing, when The Rock had said it on, I think it was like college football or one of the pre-shows.
Yeah.
That this is what y'all wanted. And it didn't matter if I won. I was like, well, no, Cody. We, Vang and myself, we told you that you didn't need to. They didn't say that. We did. And so the reactions, I'm conflicted because obviously Cody Rhodes finishing the story is officially the hottest story in wrestling. And I didn't believe that. I didn't believe that until we got the reactions from the people. Like literally when Rocky Sucks chants come back, keep in mind, we haven't heard that since what, summer, fall of 96, 97? Yeah. You know what I mean? So for Rocky Sucks chants to come on a Monday Night Raw where The Rock is not scheduled to appear, he has no promo lined up, he has no match lined up, after being cheered profusely the last two times, after having one of the biggest viral moments ever in wrestling history, months prior. Because it's only February of this year, so 2023. That hard turn to hatred, one, lets me know that the demo is still the demo. And bang, what is the demo?
White men, ages 18 to 34.
That was one. And then two, it's like, wow, the only story people truly care about where we sit right now in wrestling in 2024 is Cody Rhodes' story. There officially is no story more important. I was shocked to have it confirmed this way. But that even go to show y'all, man. Hey, look, no matter how ill The Rock is, hey, look, a lot of y'all were so mad at us for, like, The Rock's COINTELPRO episode. Y'all got mad because we was like, yo, The Rock play black when he want to. And The Rock ain't in nobody, our top fives and all that. Y'all got mad when we said things like that. But look at that. Look at what the demo did. The demo looked at Cody Rhodes taking a sidestep for Rock versus Roman, and they said, nigger, please. And it's back going on exactly how they want it. Cody versus Roman. Hey, and now, I know we ain't talking about finishes, but we really know the finish now. It's no doubt in my mind. So that's my first half, and I'm sorry, what was your next question?
I mean, you basically hit both of them on the head right there. I don't think that the fans directly influenced what the decision of it was going to be, mainly because I thought we needed to wait in the first place. Like, because here's the thing. Here's the one thing that we know about Rocky. Rocky don't give a damn what anybody thinks.
Right, doesn't.
Rocky gonna do what he want to do regardless. I think that what Rocky know, what they need a monster face.
Yeah.
And I'm gonna use you as the example here. You were kind of down on finishing the story.
Yeah.
You was like, fuck this story, you lost.
Yeah.
And I think while there are a number of people on the internet that's like, woo, I also believe that folks was like, nah, we ain't gotta finish the story.
Yeah.
And I think that the people was like, how can we, for lack of a better term, how can we get these dumbass fans back on board with finishing the story? You win the Royal Rumble. You act like you're taking what's deserved away. And then you get it back. Because here's the thing. And I was thinking about this. And maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm wrong, and maybe I'm not thinking in the way that I should think. Mm-hmm. But quite honestly, what do you get out of The Rock versus Roman Reigns?
Right, right.
You don't get
not much. Anything. Not much for the progression of today's wrestling program.
Exactly. You don't get, like, because here's the thing. Roman Reigns beat The Rock. So what? Roman Reigns has been through this already. If people forget, Roman Reigns wrestled The Undertaker in a not-so-good match.
Yeah.
And even though he was the second person to beat The Undertaker, it was like, yo, this could put him over the hump to the point that they made that the main event.
Yeah.
For WrestleMania, that was the last match.
Yeah.
That didn't do anything. You know what also y'all got? You know what y'all also got? Brock Lesnar versus Goldberg in like a 4-minute match. Yeah. So when you look at The Rock versus Roman Reigns, I think the only people, and this is how I cut me some slack here. If you are a wrestling mind, Cody got to finish the story. Mm-hmm. But if you are of a business mind, TKO, Ari Emanuel, the company, you're like The Rock in the main event. That's a no-brainer. Mm. But what I believe happened is that the wrestling minds was like, yo, there's a way we could get what we want. We could get The Rock involved, but we can also make Cody our new John Cena. The best way of doing this is to act like we're swerving. The best way of doing this is to act like we're taking something from the fans. Mm-hmm. And then from there, give them back what they wanted. Mm-hmm. Only thing is what I think is that they never had to go through this in the first place. Mm-hmm. If Cody did not win the Royal Rumble, you could have got everything you wanted. It literally could have been The Rock is going to go up against Roman, and then Cody's begging for an opportunity, which might be his last opportunity to go up against Roman. And somebody else, Gunther, could have won the Royal Rumble and been like, yo, I'm going against Seth.
Yep.
And then it wouldn't look like Seth is just sitting out here in the cold.
Right. So, man, I loved a lot of things that you said, and I want to bring it back to the WrestleMania thing real quick, because I remember the 21-1 night, and I want to say we were like, why did Brock Lesnar beat The Undertaker? He's already solidified as who he is. Somebody that they believe in tomorrow needs to beat The Undertaker at WrestleMania, because this is just a stat that unfortunately don't really mean that much to Brock Lesnar, because he's already done everything twice. So when the big dog Roman Reigns won, I was like, hey, I know people don't like this and they booing, but this is what makes sense, because he's the guy. This is the guy that in 2012, everybody was like, yo, no, he's really next. This is who we want to win. I don't know why they booing. Maybe he's not meant to be a face, but him beating the Undertaker at WrestleMania makes perfect sense. So now we've done that. Again, may not have been done right, didn't get done on time, if you want my personal assessment and opinion, but that was where we are. So now, love that point, because again, one of my guarantees for this year was Cody ain't going to finish the story at WrestleMania. Mm-hmm. Cancel Christmas and Easter because he don't need to. I think he's going to finish the story at like the Great American Bash or SummerSlam. Why? Because his pops was all about the summertime. Some of the best moments that ever came for Dusty Rhodes was the summer and the fall winter. Like, that's kind of his bag. So I thought it was going to be some WWE byproduct purchased by WWE, now TKO, that was going to be like, hey, yo, we're going to have you win this at Super Brawl. Yeah, we're going to do Super Bowl for the first time ever, and you about to win it. Or we're going to bring back Starrcade one more time, and you about to finish the story there. Those are the kind of things that I was thinking about. So I want to say all that to say this. Bang, because I think you're onto something here, and my thing lately has been the heat check. Question for you is this. Do you think they threw that rock thing out there for the heat check? Do you think that maybe they thought, well, Rock and Roman is 50-50 and Cody Roman is 50-50. What about if we put all these worlds together to see who the people really want to see that's at 51 or 52% or more in one of these main events for this year's WrestleMania?
It wouldn't shock me if the heat check was done. But I also believe they knew what the heat check was going to be. Okay. See, here's the thing. I think taking the opportunity away from Cody Rhodes was going to end up the way that it ended up regardless.
Yeah.
Not that, especially with him winning the Royal Rumble, because then it's like, yo, what was the point of him winning the Royal Rumble? Exactly. I think a lot of times in wrestling, we get duped. Especially now in the world that we live in, a lot of times we get duped. We see something, we expect to get a result, and then when we get the result that we expected, we don't get it, then we get on the social media and we start typing and we start boohooing. We get on Twitter and we start voicing our opinions. Everybody gets on their podcast to say how the WWE is wrong and Paul is wrong. But then they fail to realize that there's a whole plan that's in place.
Yeah.
And you're part of the plan.
Yeah.
People that watch wrestling don't understand that they're just as much as part of the plan as the wrestlers, because they need a reaction. So it would not shock me or surprise me if the way that they rolled it out was the way that it was rolled out. It wouldn't shock me if the whole plan was Cody wins the Royal Rumble. He teases that it's going to be Seth. He goes to SmackDown. He say, man, I talked to some people. Oh, no. The Rock comes out, because The Rock's been teasing this shit all summer. But Cody never officially makes a decision. And then they go to this press conference, and then that's what they get. Because also, The Rock went heel early in that day on Pat McAfee. He went heel, the Cody crybabies and all of that stuff.
Yeah.
It wouldn't shock me if all of this was planned out. Now, it would not shock me either if they was like, hey, you know what, these fans, we in Philly. Remember, Philly will hijack a show.
Man.
So that wouldn't shock me either. But here's the thing. We could chant Rocky sucks all day long, but when WrestleMania comes,
gonna be there.
And niggas gonna cheer.
Yeah. Hey, and to that point, there's only in my mind, there's only three markets that would have been open arm receptive to Rock versus Roman at the Royal Rumble for the world title, right? That's Miami, San Francisco, and New York City. That's it. Those are the three. I have never been in love with the idea of Rock versus Roman in Philly, just because of the last time I remember seeing Rock and Roman together in Philly. So yeah, I don't think this is the market to play these kind of games with.
Right.
Like, in general, I don't think that Philly loves Rocky that much, period. Check the history. Like, I want to say the Hollywood Rock character got invented because of the Philly market. I want to say like that was the one when he did the Titantron thing and he was saluting Booker T, but he was trying to shit on everybody else that was like the faces and the heels and doing all that. And that crowd booed the shit out of that promo so bad from via satellite that I really didn't even hear what he was saying. And then all of a sudden, I think he had to go with Hollywood Rock because there was no other option. So now I'm thinking about that and saying Philly, WrestleMania 40, Rock versus Roman. Yeah, it's beautiful, but you better do that at SoFi. You better do that at MetLife. You better do that at what, Tropicana or whatever. I'm like, I think there's only three markets and domestically where you can get that off and we don't get what we already been seeing the last few days.
Yeah, and see, as they're playing the montage and everything on Raw right now, somebody explain to me, what's the reason for The Rock versus Roman?
Hey, especially how the press conference went and how the end of SmackDown went. Oh, so like, see, I think that's what's even worse, man. You got the world champ facing a guy who literally don't even want the belt. See, that's the other problem with this Rock. The Rock didn't even talking about, like, I want to be the champ again. Like, he ain't going to be the 17-time champion. He ain't went after the belt. He talking about some bound by blood. I'm like, bro, you can solve this at Vengeance.
Yeah, like,
what was... bring back in your house for the shit you talking.
Right, I would need somebody to tell me what would have been the reason for Rock versus Roman. The head of the table, look at the bloodline family tree that they created. Yeah. They don't even have Roman on there as the tribal chief, but they got The Rock as high chief St. Louis. I don't know if I pronounced it right. Rock, don't beat me up.
Yeah, for
but
sure,
they man. Got him as a high chief. So the high chief would be here. The tribal chief would be here.
Yeah.
So what was it? What would it be, a fight to become a high chief? That would mean that it would make Roman the face if he's trying to fight for something.
Exactly.
The Rock says that I'm the high chief. I'm at the head of the table. No, like there, because of how short the turnaround was going to be in the first place, the only reason why you would want that to happen is that you just like, you're on board. I want to wrestle my cousin.
That's what it feels like.
So that's why I don't believe that this was the match that was going to happen. I don't believe it because, as The Rock said, he's here for the long game. It has to make sense. The long game is not a short-term build for a match at WrestleMania. The long game is Cody Rhodes finishing the story.
Yeah.
But here's where we go left. And here's why, the main reason why I never really believed that The Rock and Roman Reigns was going to headline WrestleMania with a storyline so quick. Because of family. Ladies and gentlemen, The Rock slapped the shit out of Cody Rhodes for talking about his family. Yet, I've said it on this podcast since its inception, y'all. The Rhodes family is the most disrespected family in the WWE.
Yes.
That's why. When you say, don't disrespect my family, Cody is the family. His family is the one that's been disrespected.
Yeah.
Dusty didn't get the WWF championship. Dusty came back with polka dots. Cody Rhodes ended up being Stardust. But before that, of course, Dustin becomes Gold Dust. All Vince McMahon ideas and creations for a man that he hated. The reason why Virgil got the name Virgil from the Million Dollar Man, reportedly, allegedly, is because Virgil Runnels is the real name of Dusty Rhodes.
Yeah.
The Million Dollar Man is based off of Vince McMahon.
Yeah.
So Vince wanted to let Dusty Rhodes know that he was his slave.
Yeah.
Tell me, let's look at the families, y'all, in the WWE. The Samoan Dynasty, yeah, up there.
Lit.
The Hart family, up there.
Mm-hmm.
The Rose family.
Yeah. Like, they win in the charisma battle, unfortunately.
Right. So, on Raw, I would expect Cody to be like, disrespect your family. You serious? You serious, Dwayne? You serious? My father, a respected man in the business, came to the WWF and had to wear polka dots. My brother, a very well-respected wrestler in WCW, who debuted in the WWF,
mm-hmm,
had to become an androgynous wrestler by the name of Goldust. He had to get slurs rained down on him in the era where they allowed it.
Man.
Then it was me. You changed up my character so many times. And then my last character before I came back was Stardust. I married a black woman and then all of a sudden, like, hey, I ain't gonna go there.
Right.
What I'm saying is to y'all is the storyline has always been about family.
Yeah.
Whether it was Roman versus The Rock or not, it, mm-hmm, has always been about family. So when The Rock looks at Cody like, yo, don't disrespect my family, when you say something about his family, his blood, that blood runs through me. Mm-hmm. Ladies and gentlemen, what you thought The Rock and Roman Reigns was going to do during that whole promo run? So yeah, it could be the easiest case of, you could talk shit about my family. Well, I could talk shit about my family, but you can't.
Right.
But then Cody's like, yo, y'all been doing my family dirty for years.
Yeah.
So I can't say that your grandfather would be ashamed of you, but y'all could shit on my family all this time.
Right.
That's the storyline.
Yeah.
The storyline is Cody has to go up against a legendary family to prop up his family name,
mm-hmm,
and all of the mess that the WWE has given us, I could turn around by winning the WWE Universal Championship from you and your family's rich history and legacy. That's the long game. That's always been the long game.
Mm-hmm.
I just think The Rock adds a wrinkle to it that, yeah, would be interesting. But The Rock, why would the High Chief need a head of the, why would the High Chief need a seat at the head of the table?
Right.
He is the table.
Yeah. And that's why, to me, with how this breaks down, you know who should be in The Rock story that he's trying to tell in the midst of all this? Jey Uso.
Mm-hmm.
Because Jey Uso's the one member, not with the family, but on the main roster. Jey Uso is the one that ain't the High Chief or the Tribal Chief, but is obviously ascending without anybody. And they were like, yo, The Rock should really be on Raw like, hey, yo, you want it? You want to be a High Chief in the family? Well, this is what it is. And the backstory for them is, I wrestled your pops. Your pops could thank me for his spot.
Mm-hmm.
In the dynasty, because he was who he was, but then he fought me when I was at my peak. So now you at your peak. Time for you to do battle with me.
Yeah.
And that's a more compelling story than what he's inserting himself, to do with Cody. Because, hey, when The Rock slapped Cody, I was like, oh, so we get this match instead? So that was Roman going to do. Because, hey, look, Roman just sat there and was like, yo, man, that's whatever. Hey, bro, you already said you reneged. So you gave up your shot. You cool. So now The Rock slap you. And we just like, so unless The Rock has a tune-up match between here and Elimination Chamber, I think he did that for no reason.
So let me rewind this here. I just want to make sure I'm hearing this right. Mm-hmm. Are you saying that the most compelling match of WrestleMania after the press conference is not even Roman Reigns versus Cody, it's The Rock versus Cody?
Absolutely. We talking about compelling matches. Ladies and gentlemen, please don't misconstrue it. Because look, I know Cody won the Royal Rumble. And he should face whichever champion he want at WrestleMania. But the press conference said, yo, this legend disrespected my pops and slapped the shit out of me. We got a scrap. That's what the press conference said, though. So in my view, yo, fam, nah, run my fade. In Philly, where people don't fuck with you, and everybody love me. We'll get to this title nonsense later.
Could you see a WrestleMania weekend that Cody Rhodes wrestles The Rock on night one, and then Roman Reigns on night two?
Honestly, yes. Because here's the other wild card, bang, and we knew these elephants were in the room. CM Punk, out. Surgery. Seth Rollins, 50-50. Surgery. Plus, I got Damian Priest cashing in at the Royal at WrestleMania anyway, no matter what that shit said. Like, no matter what that clip in that headline said, hey, look, I got Damian Priest still cashing in on Seth Rollins or whoever in that World Heavyweight title. And how do you counter a two-night main event WrestleMania? You double down on who's obviously the hottest face in the company, which is Cody Rhodes.
Okay. So where does that leave Seth freaking Rollins, in your opinion?
It's tricky because it ain't that he won't have a worthy opponent. But shoot, even now, Seth, the biggest match on deck for him is also Cody Rhodes. Because the only two people, like, look, if we're just going with how this whole road started, Seth Rollins had two great matches on deck. Seth versus Cody 3 or 4, or Seth versus Punk 1. And now, neither one of them about to happen. Sorry, and respect to Drew McIntyre, because I see what he's doing, and I'm not mad at the work. But right now, bro, you are not night one main event level, and you're definitely not night two main event level right now where we sit. It ain't that year. I'm sorry. And really, the only other thing that would have, well, there's a couple other things that work, but they're just not as big. Pause. And that's where it hurts, right? Pause. It was crazy. Because Gunther, Jey Uso, Drew McIntyre, hey, look, them versus Seth Rollins on any night or at any pay-per-view, it is headline, it's main event worthy. But unfortunately, now we have Rock, Cody, Roman, and it's swirling around. It's the only thing being talked about while the other star is hurt. So you damn near can do WrestleMania with both titles in one night now. Because now we've just further pushed down how important Seth's title is for the weekend. It wasn't by design, but the injury report says, hey, We can't take the L in Philly when we're doing these two-night WrestleManias now. And that's the unfortunate part of all of this.
Do you think that it would be good to see The Rock pivot to Seth Rollins? Because the thing is, they were the final four on the stage together.
Yeah.
They clearly took sides. Yeah. Could this, if Seth is healthy, could this be a Rock and Roman versus Seth and Cody at, you know, Elimination Chamber in Perth? Or could we see a world where The Rock is like, nah, fam, we both need to be on top. I'll take your belt from you. There ain't nothing you can do about it. And then, you know, Seth just starts owing. And then you have Seth versus The Rock night one and Cody versus Roman night two. Is there a world where The Rock and Seth Rollins can match up at WrestleMania?
It is. And I believe in Seth Rollins enough that where he will help sell this just based on his reaction on last Monday Night Raw. But here is my deal. That would make The Rock look like Eric Bischoff in 98. And on steroids, and that's not me making an allegation.
Okay. Now, let me... But is it The Rock like Eric Bischoff right now, though?
Yeah. Hey, look.
Like...
He's well known. The Rock owns two things. Well, he owns the XFL, and he now owns his name, The Rock. TKO Endeavor, The Rock, and all that information. So it's wild now that with all this paperwork and business that's being done, now The Rock can just say, hey, I'm in the main event at WrestleMania. I don't know what the fuck y'all talking about. Like that, see, that's the wild part. And then him competing for a major title that's competed frequently, it's like, bro, I think you need to revitalize Austin Theory again, and you do your Rock versus Austin, and this is the one that you can clean up and wash in Philly. That's what I think you should do. It's just, look, if maybe The Rock was just 40 or 38, maybe it doesn't smell as bad as it does him doing it to, like, what, 52? Like, because, listen, I'm going to stand on this, and it's no disrespect for The Rock at all, but I don't want to see The Rock competing for major titles against anybody. I don't want to see him against Roman Reigns. I don't want to see it against Seth, Cody, Jay, Gunther, anybody. Like, because that ain't where the game is right now. That ain't what we need. And that's why I love the promo that Triple H cut. He was like, hey, look, man, you need to know your role now. Like, hey, look, if I ain't putting myself out here no more like that, and I was in the faction that the authority, and even in the authority, Triple H was giving his title matches to Seth Rollins and Kevin Owens. Like, see, that's the thing. We don't need The Rock literally doing what's best for business and then going into business for himself at the same damn time.
Yeah. So I think we've talked about that a little bit enough.
Yeah.
Where we can see what happens with that. But yeah, just to put a bow on it, I don't think the fans had anything to do with this pivot. We just fell into the trap. It's easy for fans to fall into a trap, you know, because of the immediate nature that they would love wrestling to be. Mm-hmm. Get all their news from Meltzer and Fightful Select and all of these things, not realizing that those folks too can be duped and telling a story that they want you to know in order for the storyline to pass. It would not shock me if this was the plan all along and they're just feeding information to people to provide the cover that they need to make sure that this storyline goes through. However, a couple of things that got up in the docket is, let's go back to Seth Rollins. Like we've mentioned, what could be next for Seth Rollins? You know, could it be a situation where we see him versus The Rock? Or is it somebody else that we need to be paying attention to outside of Drew McIntyre? Because it looks like all leads to Drew McIntyre getting his title shot.
Yeah.
But could we be looking at this a bit wrong?
Absolutely. We absolutely are. And that's why I'm curious about Elimination Chamber. Because I tell you what, the wild card in all of this, which changed my mind on a few different things, was the simple fact that they finally like hit the button on Gunther versus Jey Uso. And you know, and all of our listeners, y'all know as well, when they confirmed the trade that Cody just put through, I was like, yo, the best thing for him to do right now is take a mid-card title off of somebody. So he should be the U.S. champ or the Intercontinental champ, that being Jey Uso, week one. So the fact that we got now Gunther as the longest running Intercontinental champion ever, he's cutting some amazing promos, by the way. and his character is on 10 million right now in my eyes. It's only right that the two hottest guys that ain't got nothing to do with either main event of the night go head to head at WrestleMania. I don't think it should, it could kick it off like it's worthy of it, don't get me wrong, but I think we need to move whatever night they gonna be on, move that to the middle of the night. Because that's going to be a big night for both competitors and for the Intercontinental title. So with that said, there's still a chance that there's a greater story, if you will, because that's the thing, 2024, we're just going to tell stories, right? There's still a great story to be told with Seth Rollins. But I think even they worried about how healthy he's going to be for that story to be told.
Yeah, well, we will see going into the road to WrestleMania how that looks. But definitely want to move on to the ladies. This is for the ladies.
For the ladies.
So, who should face Rhea Ripley at WrestleMania 40? They're going through their Elimination Chamber. Plus, she's going up against Nia Jax at Elimination Chamber. More than likely, that's going to be the last match of the night. Can't see any match different because Rhea Ripley's going to be home. Who should face Rhea Ripley for the Raw Women's Championship?
I mean, realistically, for where we are, it's supposed to be Bianca Belair at this point. It is, but that ain't gonna happen. And it looks like they just don't think Rhea versus Nia is WrestleMania worthy. I guess that's what it looks like, I guess.
Yeah.
So that means that they're, for heat check purposes only, my heat check purposes only pick is Becky Lynch. Mm. Again, not because I want it. Not because I even think it's going to be a match like that. It shouldn't be a match like that based on what we've been seeing. But, I mean, hey, Rhea Ripley versus Becky Lynch. That's the prize fight. That's the... Mayweather versus Canelo. That's what that is. You know what I mean? It's like, yo, hey, look, at least now you're getting at least $10 million to fight. Come on, like, we got to do this. You know, you don't need this, but your bank account will thank you later for this one. Yeah. And that's how I look at it.
Yeah, I'm all in on Rhea Ripley versus Bianca Belair. I think it's time. But I can also see Jade Cargill and Bianca Belair getting there. Tony Atlas and Soul Patrol Rocky Johnson on it and winning the women's tag team championships from the Kabuki Warriors. Yeah. So which, that's I mean, what I can and, now go ahead.
Oh no, I was gonna say, and yeah, you know what? I mean, to get Bianca Belair out the way while developing the next young, fresh talent, the big free agent, it makes sense to do that because Bianca's going to make everybody look good around her. But now you also get a chance to make somebody look good with you, which, you know, is also, it's always a unique opportunity. And they only call the best of the best to do that. That's why Bayley and Natalya have been the main ones doing that for so long.
Yeah. Mercedes Moné is reportedly allegedly headed to AEW. Does this get you interested in AEW?
Short answer, no. And the reason why that's a short answer is because Mercedes or Sasha don't got nothing to prove over there. She beat all the good girls over there already. I've seen it.
It don't move the needle for me.
Yeah.
But I'm excited to see her on TV again.
There you go.
No, I will say this. I'm excited to see her on TV again. She should have not been away from the TV that long. I'm interested to see how her character is going to be utilized. You know, but other than that, okay. Like, you know, I do hope we don't get Jade Cargill in the tag team with our girl. Like, I think that's gonna happen, but come on. They should collide, not tag and then collide.
Mm-hmm.
You know, yeah. Let's go back to the Rock thing real quick.
Okay.
The High Chief stuff. Like, for those who don't know, Rock was given the title of High Chief due to his contribution to Samoans in various aspects. The sixth prime minister, I'm not going to pronounce his name, even proposed apparently a register of Samoan heritage living overseas to honor Johnson's request in Fast and Furious movies. Wow, that's a lot of stuff going there. But the prime minister has named The Rock, said Louis, and apparently when he responds to his, you know, German, when The Rock responds to his Samoan people and his heritage, he doesn't say Dwayne Johnson, he says say Louis. You know, so that's very interesting there. Two, that he's a high chief, and if you go look at that, I said it earlier, but if you go look at that bloodline list, it does not have Roman Reigns' name attached to it.
Mm-hmm.
What are your thoughts on the bloodline in general? The ones that's inside the WWE and the ones that's out. Is this... We talked about this before, but I want to just go a little bit of detail before we get to the favorite moments thing.
Mm-hmm.
Is it time for the WWE to announce and acknowledge that the Samoan dynasty is the greatest dynasty in wrestling right now?
I'm only going to say no for one reason. And that one reason is, we've only seen two generations of them dominate wrestling. Again, we're a little more savvy than most, but a lot of people didn't really see the Alpha and Sika run. You know, they didn't see it. So they're probably living in the mindset of, yeah, Rikishi was cool, and the head shrinkers might have been cool, but The Rock is the only one that dominated. And now we got The Rock and Roman Reigns, the only one that dominated. I think if you get Jey Uso in a spot where he dominates like that, and two more family members. I'm not saying it's Solo or Jimmy. I'm saying maybe it's Jacob. I'm saying maybe they're acknowledging Nia Jax in this now. Like, there has to be, I think, two other generations of Inouye family members, man or woman, tag team or not. Because, I mean, again, Jimmy and Jay, they dominated the tag team ranks. But I think for that, what you're saying, to like solidify, I know these are the ones, all puns intended. I think two more, at least, if not three more, Solo superstars have to start dominating, specifically in the WWE, before they make that claim, because by proximity, you're kind of in a dead heat with only two of them running things. Like, you know what I mean? You could easily say that, Vince Senior never had the wrestling match, and he ran y'all. You know what I'm saying? It's the Nas line. Queens niggas run you, niggas ask Russell Simmons. It's kind of like that.
I'm going to disagree with you a little bit, man. I think it's time for them to acknowledge that the Samoan dynasty, the Inouye family, is the greatest family in at least the WWE, maybe, you know, nationwide. Okay. They have their hands on everything. And definitely need to be acknowledged that Samoans ain't just wild barbarians that you're sticking with something. Mm-hmm. The Hart family is like, at this point, it's like,
it's really only Bret and Owen, but
yeah, it's, you know, right. It's like,
But check it out, again, for the demo, they'll be like, well, Vince, Shane, and Stephanie versus Stu, Brett, and Owen. But Natalya counts, and Jim DeAnvil counts. So, you know what I mean? Like, they'll move the goalposts like that. Like, ooh, Davey Boy Smith counts. It's like,
oh. Yeah, look, if you look at that bloodline family tree that they placed up at the press conference,
stat.
The Hart family can't do that.
Right. Yeah. Sorry, Tyson
Kidd. Yeah, they can't do that. Like, they can't put all of the adjacents and the non-adjacents up on the wall like The Rock them did.
Yeah. And listen, I'm with you off the aesthetic alone and for what I know, but I would just, as long as people don't try to asterisk it and start it with The Rock, I'm 1,000% with you. But the way this era reacts to ethnic dominance, let's run the table a couple more years. That way you can't say shit. Like, they run the table a couple more years and we get to 2034 and it's still somebody from they family tree on top. It's like, okay, hey, we good here, right? You know the vibes now, right? you can't speak about this.
So rank your WWE families in order. How does that look?
Definitely the Inouyes on top. I got them at one. I would go, I mean, it may sound funny, man. I'm still going to make McMahon family at two. I'll do because there's only three of them. I gotta go Hart family three, Rhodes family four, and I'm gonna go to the Armstrong family at five because it's sneaky, it's sneaky. And then I got, because there's only two of them, got the Ortons at six.
Yeah. I think I'm at the point that I need the Samoan dynasty at number one. The Hart family at number two. But I believe that Cody has a chance to rewrite all of that. and have his family truly in the conversation. Truly in the conversation. And we'll see what happens from there. All right, man, before, because we've pretty much caught up, before we get out of here, though, you know, we in the road to WrestleMania, and I've been watching wrestling. I've watched the first six WrestleManias.
Okay.
I'm gonna continue doing this until we get to WrestleMania 40.
Okay.
So I want to break this down from the first 5 years of WrestleMania.
Okay.
WrestleMania 1, WrestleMania 6, WrestleMania 6, Tokyo Dome in Toronto. No, Madison Square Garden. Yeah, Madison Square Garden for one. What is some of your favorite WrestleMania moments from that, you know, those first couple of years, 85 to 90?
Well, man, the first one is undoubtedly the Macho Man running the table of the tournament at WrestleMania 4. That WrestleMania 4 will always be in my top three to top five WrestleManias because that is the one that made me a real wrestling fan. I was kind of spot watching before then. Shout out to Kenny Lewis. Shout out to all my cousins and friends at that time. But once I rented WrestleMania 4 on VHS from, I think it was Stars and Stripes Video, the first time I ever seen it, it was long before Blockbuster in Freeport. I watched that and I was so overly compelled with that one. Because at first, you know, it was like, damn, Hulk Hogan ain't going to be in the tournament no more. Oh. But the story that the Macho Man told from start to finish that night was epic. So that's always going to be my number one, especially if we're talking the first five. I would say another moment, favorite moment, though. That's a little difficult because I'm not gonna lie to you. The next one that comes to my mind is the obvious heartbreak of the Ultimate Warrior pinning Hulk Hogan. I was a big Hulk Hogan fan. It ain't a favorite moment, but it's a soul crushing one for old 9 year old Camp from the Port. Like it is. But hey, believe it or not, the very par performance of Run DMC at WrestleMania 5. Another favorite moment, Roddy Piper, Morton Downey Jr., I think dude was yes. Name was Piper's Pit, because that was when like Piper officially turned face. I won't front to y'all, I ain't gonna act like I'm super match moment heavy. So don't expect me to say King Kong Bundy versus Hogan in the cage. No, it ain't. It ain't there. Hey, and at the same time, because I didn't appreciate it in real time, I'm not about to cape like Steamboat Savage was my shit. I was five. I mean, I was like 7 or 8 years old. That wasn't my bag. Really, to me, all of my matches would fall into the tournament and everything Hogan, Savage, Warrior. Those are mine. I'm going to stick to the script of being an 80s baby and a real child in the 80s. I'm giving you all the random moments. And every time I saw Hulk Hogan, the Ultimate Warrior, and the Macho Man, Randy Savage, I'm not here to cape and cap.
Yeah. So I have an analogy, y'all, to bring wrestling and hip-hop together. WrestleMania 4 is the In My Lifetime Volume 1 of wrestling.
There we go. Let's talk about it.
The way y'all disrespect WrestleMania 4 is getting on my nerves. Just like I hate when people disrespect Jay-Z's In My Lifetime, Volume 1. I hate when y'all disrespect it. It had Imaginary Players in there. It had Where I'm From. You know, it had Streets Is Watching. I could go on and on, but WrestleMania 4 gave you Macho Man versus Ted DiBiase in the dramatic match. It gave you Andre the Giant versus Hulk Hogan, you know, in their disqualification. It gave you the emergence of the Ultimate Warrior. It gave you the breakup of Strikeforce.
Yeah.
Was the pay-per-view long? Yeah. But it was a good to great pay-per-view, y'all. So please don't disrespect that. Another moment for me is Macho Man versus Randy Savage. Now, of course, I like you. I did not see this live, ladies and gentlemen.
Yo, you tired. You said the Macho Man versus Randy Savage.
Excuse me, Macho Man versus... Ricky Steamboat, excuse me. Hey man, Macho Man in that name, G.
Right.
And I'm watching Raw at the same time.
Okay.
they got Seth up there. But no, Macho Man versus Ricky the Dragon Steamboat. So I didn't watch it live, but my mom had Columbia House, and they had the best of WrestleMania. That's when I finally saw Hogan, Andre the Giant. That's when I finally saw Steamboat and Macho Man. That's why I saw Macho Man and the Ultimate Warrior, which I know would be in part two of this, because that was, to me, one of the most dramatic WrestleMania matches of all time.
Sure.
So I'm watching the tape, Sean Mooney's narrating and shit, and I'm like, wait a minute. We always talk about the slam. I don't see them talking about this match all the time. And I was like, yo, this match cold. Ricky Steamboat won? Like, I watched that tape so many times. And I watched that specific match so many times. It became that, like, how you see these people on the Greg Damon Valentine post?
Yeah.
That they still come in on.
Right.
This is when I tell y'all, yo, I be digging in the crates, fam. I watched that tape so much that I remember the first place I watched the tape.
Wow.
And the first place I watched that history of that best of WrestleMania with Columbia House was at my grandfather's house.
Wow.
And then my grandfather was like, yo, you got to come to the lounge with me.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, fam, I don't want to be kicking it with y'all old ass niggas. So he was like, okay, the lounge is in an apartment building. You just go upstairs and you watch it there.
Mm.
That's what I did. Great. And I watched that tape for the first time. I was like, yo, this match cold.
Yeah.
And that's where I was at. A little bit of a lighthearted one, because I had both of the wrestling men.
Okay.
I had both of the wrestling men. Was anytime I saw Big Boss Man and the King.
Okay.
Don't ask, y'all. But my mother had bought me Big Boss Man and the King action figures.
Yeah, no. Hey, listen. I think those were mass produced, high key.
Man.
Small fast fact. And I don't know how to fact check this at all. But I want to say the most mass produced wrestling figures ever: Big Boss Man, Akeem, Hillbilly Jim, and Nikolai Volkoff. I don't know nobody that collected wrestling figures who didn't have all of them.
Yeah, I definitely had the nightstick.
Yeah,
I definitely had that, y'all. And I used to, and I had them and Macho Man.
Yeah, hey. The Macho Man was the one that we all was trying to get.
But yeah, I had the Macho, though.
But the ones that was always just available, whether you was at Osco Drug, Fred's, if you was in the South of Mississippi, or Kmart, it wasn't a day that went by that them four wasn't in there.
Yeah. But as an Ultimate Warrior fan, one of my favorite moments is when he loses to Rick Rude.
Mm.
What are we doing here? So, yeah. So, those are some of my favorite moments. We're going to keep this going as we go along on the road to WrestleMania. Like I said, I'm watching Raw right now, looking at the closed caption and stuff like that. So, it's very interesting to see those two in the ring together. You know, Seth Rollins with his wife clothes on.
Hey, amazing promo by Roman Reigns that week. Hey, listen, exactly. No Pop is going to be making his way to this show
frequently. Yeah.
You can bank on that.
Yeah. No, so Seth Rollins is basically saying, like, yo, the deck is stacked against you, fam. Like, what you going to do?
Mm.
You can't win. He's giving them the Adrian talk. I want to end this off with an interesting tweet that we got, though.
Okay.
It was around Carl Weathers and how, like, you know it's a wrestling podcast, but, like, you know, it would be great to get a Carl Weathers episode. So this is how I'm going to put it with Carl Weathers. All right. You know, we can't do a Carl Weathers episode. He's never wrestled. But, and this is the honest to God truth, I'm not just pulling this out of my ass. Mm. I always want to see Carl Weathers in the wrestling ring.
Mm.
Like, we saw Mr. T
in
the 80s. Like, Carl Weathers was in Predator with Jesse the Body Ventura.
Yeah.
He was in Rocky 3 with, you know, Hulk Hogan.
Oh, yeah. That's true.
How come we couldn't see Carl Weathers in the wrestling ring? Like, I'm really, like, when I saw that tweet, I really was like, yeah. But then I got to thinking, like, Carl Weathers probably could have, like, tagged with Jesse the Body Ventura or some shit at, like, WrestleMania 4 or something. So my question to you is, like, what is one of your favorite, like, but no, I know your favorite. You're a Rocky III stan.
Absolutely.
So absolutely. I ain't even got to ask you that question. But what does the Apollo Creed character mean to you?
Mm.
And then I got a question that I think we'll have fun to answer. So what does the Apollo Creed character mean to you?
Man, listen. Short answer, everything. Again, I was born in the 80s. And you know, the Rocky, what, two or three Rocky movies come out before my coherent memories. So I don't know who Muhammad Ali is by the time I'm watching Rocky. So I think Apollo Creed is a real person. So that's how my imagination works. I'm keeping it at 1 trillion with y'all tonight. Carl Weathers to me was like the first black superhero. Because I didn't know his name. I thought he was Apollo Creed. When I saw Action Jackson, I said, Apollo Creed is alive again, and he's Action Jackson. And when he had superpowers, I'm like, even though I wasn't the biggest comic book kid, but I was like, oh, wow, he's alive, and he's Action Jackson. So, like, I kid you not, Carl Weathers was a superhero to me. I would equate him to be the equivalent to what Richard Roundtree was to the OGs in the 70s or Rudy Ray Moore, even though he wasn't like really an action guy, or like, you know, Shaft, which was Richard Roundtree. That's what he was to me. So Rocky IV hurt when he died. Like the first time as a child I saw that, I was like crushed. I like cried. Nothing that Carl Weathers did was like wrong to me. Like, I think he has an impeccable, dare I say, flawless body of work. I've never not seen him in a TV or a movie series and did not enjoy it. I think when we talk about the blueprint for what black actors and black entertainers should be, I think his name should come up more. And that's with respect to your Morgan Freemans and respect to your Denzel Washington's things, and you know, and those guys. But you know, the two people that I hold in very high regard and always will, and I started off this way, was Carl Weathers and Wesley Snipes. I thought that's who you should and would want to be if you were going to be a black person in entertainment. Once I started really separating, oh wow, movies from characters, and these guys did this and that. Like once I'm like 10 and I'm using common sense now and understanding fact versus fiction, reality versus TV and movies, Carl Weathers and Wesley Snipes were my one and two, just because they reminded me of people in my neighborhood. They reminded me of people in my family, and damn, were they convincing at everything that they did. So for me personally, Carl Weathers was like, wow, you want to talk about that piece of your childhood dying? Carl Weathers was like my best friend dying, like my best childhood friend dying. And it's like, but we ain't talked in 20 years. That's how it felt to me. So that is the best way for me to sum up just everything Carl Weathers and everything he meant to me as an entertainer, as a character, and just his legacy. I can't put it any clearer than that. And I won't try to use any extra words to put in the extra sauce on it. Like, that's just what it is right there.
Yeah, man, Carl Weathers was an icon. And that's putting it lightly.
Yeah.
Like, there's no Rocky without Apollo Creed.
At all.
Simply put. And then you get Predator. Action Jackson. Mm-hmm. For some reason, when you put those together, I have a hard time saying this. But fun fact, I always thought this when I was younger and I saw the movie, and I watched it a couple of days ago, and I even like feel it now. Craig T. Nelson's character on Action Jackson was Donald Trump, y'all.
And now I gotta watch again. I gotta watch it again.
It's on. I think it was on Apple. I don't think it. Yeah, it's on Prime Video. I believe it is too. It's like
okay,
but nah, y'all. Craig T. Nelson was Donald Trump.
And shout out to Craig T. Nelson, another guy with a flawless body of work, and I'm including the sitcom Coach too.
Yes,
it was fire.
Yes, Coach was fire. You know what I'm saying? The Orlando Breakers, I think, was the team he ended up coaching in the NFL or whatever. But nah, Craig T. Nelson's character in Action Jackson was Donald Trump. You can't tell me nothing.
I gotta watch now.
You gotta watch it, fam. You can't, like, I watched and I was like, y'all was on to something. Yeah. Y'all was on to something. Was it 87,
88? I think so.
Yeah, y'all was on to something. That rich billionaire tycoon shit. But in this case, he was feeding people heroin and not there.
Bars. Hey, 80s movies, man. 80s movies. Yep. Peak creativity for 80s movies.
Peak creativity. But back to Carl Weathers, man. Predator is what got me, though.
Mm.
Predator is what got me. For the simple fact that in Predator, like, he the one who set the whole thing up. And I was like, yo, like, I really fuck with, like, Predator is one of my favorite movies, the original Predator.
Okay.
So between Rocky and that, I always watch, I made sure to watch a movie with Carl Nelson on it on Channel 9, y'all. Carl Weathers, excuse me. I said Carl Nelson. Carl Weathers.
Okay.
So, when Happy Gilmore came out, I was like, yo, like, is this some type of renaissance or whatever? But he was always, like, a working actor. And when The Mandalorian came out, I was even happier. Simply put, I was a big Carl Weathers fan. And it was sad to see somebody that has been a figure in your childhood go. So rest in peace to him.
Yeah.
But I always wondered, And when I was younger, like when you see Mr. T and even some of the NFL players and stuff, and knowing that he did stuff with Jesse the Body Ventura, man, he couldn't get up in the ring. Which leads me to my question of the day before we give our guarantees. Who is a celebrity that has not entered the ring that you wish wrestled in the ring?
This is an interesting question because I'm super jaded because I've watched the worst and then now the best, you know? But if I had to pick, hey, y'all, no, I'm gonna go Sylvester Stallone. Because I didn't realize how small he was. I didn't realize he was a cruiserweight. You dig what I'm saying? Because, yeah, I mean, look, action heroes like, because, you know, I mean, hey, look, a lot of the obvious answers, they've happened. Like Arnold Schwarzenegger happened, like to a degree. Like he got into the world of the WWE.
He
But,
punched me.
like, yes, Sylvester Stallone, it never happened. Hey, Dolph Lundgren. Because again, hey, as a child, I thought he killed somebody. I thought he killed my best black friend. Like, I thought he did. Oh, man. I know it's somebody else,
I
but
got one for you.
go
You don't laugh. Don't
ahead.
laugh.
Okay. I'm
Patrick
laughing.
Swayze.
No, hey, no, Roadhouse. Hey, yo, come on,
Hey.
fam. Fam, laugh.
Bruh,
No,
I just
that's
want to
top
make sure.
five.
Bruh, Roadhouse made me think that Patrick Swayze could take on a whole ass gang. Because he did in Roadhouse. I would have loved to see like Patrick Swayze and Sting versus like Ric Flair and
Listen,
Arn Anderson.
no bull, and my mama don't remember this. I went looking for the Roadhouse action figure. I ain't even gonna lie to you. That's how much I believed. I was like, yo, is there a Roadhouse action figure? Because he hard. Like, this crazy. I'm
Gee.
like, yo, listen, if there would have been a Dalton Roadhouse action figure, he would have been the world champ that afternoon in my
Bruh.
house.
Bruh. I. Patrick Swayze is on the list. Mel Gibson, because of Lethal Weapon,
Yes, that and that
is
was the
on the
other one I was
list.
actually thinking of. Mel Gibson,
Like,
Lethal
Mel
Weapon.
Gibson is on the list because of
Riggs,
that, too.
Detective Riggs should have been out there.
Right. And I wish Ray Lewis would have wrestled. I wish Ray Lewis would have wrestled. Like, I mean, this is before the incident and all that stuff, and even afterwards, because he got away. He got away. But I think that Ray Lewis would have been an incredible WWE superstar.
For sure. I mean, hey, look, hey, all things considered, he would have been Reverend Devon. First black champ.
All right, man, you got any guarantees?
Oh, man, guarantees. Hey, I guarantee that they telling this Bailey story wrong.
Uh-oh.
I'm here for it all. But man, I don't like the way last year went. I totally wanted Bailey to be on the other side of like, I'm gonna get these Asian hoes before they get me. Versus the, oh man, we're supposed to be the best of friends. It's a lot of old OG Bailey coming out. Like, yo, everybody love me. But I wanted to really hit the apex of the no, baddest bitch on the planet, Bailey. Like, no, ain't nobody colder than me. I wanted to get deeper into that bag versus the OG bag. But nonetheless, I hope, my guarantee hope, it's not a guarantee, my guarantee hope is that this story gets told a lot better from her angle and perspective because the people need like unparalleled, heralded superstar Bailey. Like that's what 2024 needs. She was the Pandemic Women Wrestler MVP. She is the I've won everything, done every match, won first. And it's really time for her to get on some John Cena, Randy Orton, Triple H type-ish by now. Like, she needs her Charlotte run since Charlotte ain't can't be here right now. That's my goddamn hope.
Man, my guarantee is that Bianca Belair and Jade Cargill will be the next WWE Women's Tag Team Champions. Mm. It's a way to get Jade on TV, protect her a little bit, and give Bianca a run. Mm. And probably do what Sasha and Naomi wanted to do with the tag team titles in the first place.
Is Titus going to manage them?
Millions and millions of dollars.
Hey, you know.
Millions and millions of dollars. So, yeah, man, that is my guarantee. We'll see what happens in all of that. And we'll see what happens in AEW, man, because, yeah. You know, Mercedes Moné is on the way there. Boston, Boss, B-O-S-S-T-O-N, is going to be lit when she debuts there. There's also rumors that Okada will be joining AEW, which I ain't gonna front. I don't like that move. Like,
no?
I don't like that move. Nah, I'd rather see... I don't want to see Okada go up against Orange Cassidy. I don't want to see him go up against Daniel Garcia. Yeah. I don't want to see him go up against Daniel Bryan again. I don't want to see him go up against Kenny Omega and all of this stuff. Like, I've seen that. I felt like, you know, you can go look at a Wrestle Kingdom
or whatever. That's true.
I want to see Okada versus Seth Rollins. I want to see Okada versus Gunther. Like, I want to see that. I really want to see Okada versus Gunther.
Mm.
Like, that, I was, man. But it looks like he's going to go to AEW. So it's just like, all right, that's cool. I'm not shitting on AEW. It's just right. I've seen some of those matches.
Yeah.
I want to see him against different people. And I would pay to see Okada versus Gunther for the Intercontinental Championship at WrestleMania. Like, that's what I would pray for. But we'll see from there. So, hey, man, go ahead and end us off, G.
All right, man. Hey, thank y'all for tuning in to this. Sorry we kept you, but life be life, and then we having a good time in it. All right? Hey, all of you, as a part of this FBC community, in the immortal words of Tupac, you are appreciated. Your likes, your comments, your shares, your questions. You laughing at these goofballs in that Greg the Hammer Valentine reel post. All of it, greatly appreciated. Listen, it's very possible for Bang and myself to do this show without all of you, but each and every one of you and the way you choose to contribute to this community is, again, appreciated, and we thank you sincerely. So just know, the next time you want to talk about wrestling in an unconventional way, you do so by checking out the First Black Champ Podcast. Pick, VP, DOC, and we are out. Man, I can't wait for Ciampa to turn on fucking Johnny Wrestling.
Hey, I can't wait for you to see Big Bronson Reed's intro.
Oh,
because I was laughing at that too when I was.
Well, all right.